Wow. You rule Illyria, what rules you? We know the answer, huh? Sadly. It's what ruled some of us until a couple days ago. And maybe still rules some of us in this room. I hope you can just realize that. If nothing else, you guys. What Chris was saying up here, if nothing else, man, make God your true king. Guys, we want to open up to 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to be looking at two places. So if you can keep your finger or maybe you have a bookmark or something or whatever, but we're going to go to Romans 1 and then come back to 1 Samuel 15. So we're going to start with 1 Samuel 15, then go to Romans 1. So if you can try to find both those places, great. If not, just listen, write it down, and then we'll look at it. But we're going to start with 1 Samuel chapter 15. Look a little bit about what this video was showing. Come back to it. You guys, I think this morning, you know, when I was talking about like who we are now, we're completely different, right? That one song we sang, I'm no longer a slave of fear, but I'm a child of God. Did any of you guys sing it maybe with fresh eyes? Like, that's right. That's what I am. I hope you did. I was doing that. And I think some of us really that are serious have been tracking this week. Maybe some of us haven't. But if you've been tracking this week, I think some of us are ready to go, okay, I'm a child of God, I'm a slave of righteousness, I'm a slave of God, but my life isn't really lining up with who I am. Can you help me? I would really want that. You're like, how can I get my life to really reflect that I really am a child of God, a slave of righteousness, not a slave of sin? Because I'm acting more like a slave of sin than I am a slave of God. And so how can I live in victory? How can I conquer sin? How can I go home and be able to live like God wants me to live a little bit better than I am now? Anybody want to do that? Just want to do that? We're going to talk about that tomorrow. How do we have victory with sin that we might be facing in the future? But I think before we go there, I hope it's okay with you, because even if you're ready to go there now, there might be somebody still that needs to do something else first. And that is, before we talk about how you're going to handle sin in the future, some of us still need to honestly handle some sin that's in your life right now. Something that's going on in your life right now, and how can you handle that? What are you going to do with that? Because I think with King Saul, we see him. How did he handle sin in his life? He never did anything with it, right? He just continued to fall in it. So how can we not be like Saul is what we're going to talk about tonight. By the way, when I look at this video, and maybe you get the same idea, Who is the boy, by the way? David. Yeah, David. He's going to be the king that's going to be after Saul. And we look at the video, and in the video, it really looks like Saul is the one that keeps on failing, doesn't trust God, doesn't obey God. And what does it look like with David? That he obeys God, trusts God. I mean, man, he is like, he doesn't do anything wrong. And for some of us, we might start thinking, oh, I get it. The reason why God rejected Saul was because Saul was disobedient. And the reason why God accepted David is because David was obedient, right? But if you know anything about David, that doesn't really line up. Guys, the difference between Saul and David wasn't that Saul sinned and David didn't sin. David sinned too. So that makes us go, well, then when Saul sinned, why did God reject Saul? And when David sinned, why did God go, it's okay, I'm not going to reject you? Why did he do that? It's because, not because Saul sinned worse than David. It's not because of that. They both sinned, and both of them sinned, and sin is all the same. It's because when Saul was confronted with sin in his life, the way that he responded to it was totally different than how David responded to when sin was confronted in his life. It's what we do with sin that makes us different. That's the difference, you guys. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Let me show you what I mean. We're going to go back a couple of days. Remember in the video, they went to that fort and Saul was supposed to kill that guy, chop off the guy's head. Remember that? And he ends up going, no, we're not going to kill him. But remember, God told him, well, I want you to go there, burn everything. Don't let anything, don't take anything, burn it all and kill all of them. And Saul went, well, I'll mostly do that, but not quite all the way. Let's go back to that. That's the time that he sinned. You go, how did he respond when he was confronted? Because Samuel came to him and said, hey, this is sin. Look what it says in verse 13. says when Samuel reached Saul, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." When Samuel came to Saul in that time, Saul actually went to Samuel and said, "Hey, oh, I'm so glad you're here, Samuel. Look, I obeyed God." And Samuel went, "What? No, you didn't. You didn't obey." And he said, there was an argument. You guys, for the next several verses, there's an argument where Samuel keeps going, "You sinned." And Saul keeps going, "No, I didn't." Like, he just didn't respond the right way. And so what happened with Saul, you guys, is that Saul, when he was confronted with sin, he never truly repented or confessed his sin. He never truly repented or confessed his sin. David did. Before we go any further, if you're taking notes, let's just write down what repent means and what confess means, because some of us might have a different idea of what it means. When sin happens in our life and when we're confronted, when we realize that there's sin that's happened, what do? That's different than Saul. Let's repent, let's confess. But what does that mean? If you're writing notes, write down repent equals. So we're going to define repent, okay? Repent equals. The actual word means to turn around. Just write that down. That's what it actually means. This is like repenting. Like I'm going in this direction, and then suddenly I stop. I turn around and I go in this direction. That's what the word actually means, a change of direction. Now, when you think about when you sin, what does it mean to repent then with sin? What does it mean to change our direction when we look at our sin? What it means is mostly it's about our mind, how we're looking at it, our attitude about it. It's that we're going to change our thinking about it. Because up until this time, we've been sinning and we're going, "You know what? I like this sin. I want to sin. I'm just going to do it." And then suddenly when we repent, we say, "Hold it. What am I thinking? I need to change the way I'm thinking and turn it around. I need to turn my thinking around from this thing." Do you understand that? That's what it means to repent. Repent doesn't just mean, "Hey, God, I sinned." Repent means that I'm changing my mind about that sin. That's what that means. Saul never did that. Confess. If I'm changing my mind and going in another direction, what direction am I going? And that's where confession comes in. Write down confess equals. Confess means, write this down, to agree with. That's what the word confess means, to agree with. I used to think when I was told to confess my sins, it meant that I would say all of my sins out loud to God. Anybody relate to that? I confessed my sins. I lied, I cheated, I did it, you know, I was selfish, whatever. I confessed it. That's not what confession is. That's just saying your sins out loud. Confession is agreeing with someone about your sin. Who do you think it means to agree with about your sin? To agree with who? God about your sin. In other words, when I put repent and confess together, I look at my sin and I go, "You know what? This is what I think about my sin. I need to change the way I think about my sin, and I need to agree with God about this sin instead. I need to agree with what God says about this sin instead of saying what I think about this sin." Do you notice how Saul didn't do that? Samuel comes to him and says, "This is sin," and he goes, "No, I don't think it is." And he wasn't going to change his mind about it. But when it's very humbling, you guys, to say, "Hold it, I'm wrong here, and now I'm going to change my mind, and I'm going to look at my sin the same way that God looks at my sin." There's three things that I think we need to agree with God in when we think about confession. Three things that we need to agree with God. You ready to write them down? The first one, and this is stuff that Saul did. It's the opposite of what Saul did, but it's exactly what David did. And the first thing, just write this down. Admit that it's really sin. Admit that what you're doing is really sin. Not kind of sin, not sort of sin, but it really is sin. Remember what Saul would do. He would mostly do what God did and say, "Well, that's good enough. I mean, I didn't completely disobey him, so it's not really sin." Do you remember that? We do the same thing. You guys, I don't know what the thing is. I say admit that it, and you're going, what's the it? You answer that. Whatever it is that you're struggling through right now, that sin in your life that God says is sin, have you truly admitted that it was sin? Do you look and say, this really is sin? Are you still wondering if it is? Well, I know that the Bible says that it's sin, but the Bible's really outdated and our culture has really changed and the world's really changed, and I don't think this is sin anymore. Some people do that. You know it. Maybe even somebody in this room is doing it. It's not, it's just, I made a mistake, but it's not sin. Or we start defining, you guys, what we do is we start deciding what sin is. Instead of going to God, we decide what sin is. We say stuff like this: how can it be sin if nobody got hurt? If nobody's getting hurt, how in the world can that be sin? That's what we do. We say this: you know what? Everything really worked out. So how can it be sin? Because everything is working out. Nothing bad is happening because of it. In fact, I'm even seeing good things happen because of it. Like Saul would have said, hold it. You know what? I know what God told me, but I even had a better plan. I had a better thing than what God said. You know, he told us to destroy everything, but I think it's even better if we dedicate the gold and make a monument for God, and then God can be known even more. Doesn't that sound better? And he's going, you know what? I didn't do exactly what God says, but we still won the battle. Everybody's good. Everybody's happy. How can this be sin? I'm going to give you guys a really, really sobering truth. The moment that we start deciding what's sin and what's not is the moment that God is no longer on the throne and we've decided to go on the throne instead. It's the moment that we become Saul. Seriously, you guys, how can we be so arrogant? I do that, by the way, myself. How can this be sin? And God says, PJ, how can you be so arrogant that you think you know what sin is more than the holiest being of the universe knows what sin is? What makes you think you know that? Humble yourself. And even if the entire culture around us says that something is not sin or something is not sin anymore, it doesn't matter. Sin isn't sin because everybody agrees that it is. That's not what makes something sin. Sin is sin because of what God says it is. And that's accepting God as God. That makes sense, you guys? For some of us, it might be something in your life. You're like, I just don't, that's not really sin. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. He goes on. Saul keeps going on in chapter 15. Look at verse 20. After Samuel says it is sin, he says, but I did obey the Lord. I didn't sin. He just keeps saying it over and over and over. And then he kind of goes into the second thing, which is this, you guys. The first thing is that I need to look at this thing and say, I need to admit that this really is sin. Number two, this is really a big deal. Write that down. This is really a big deal. You want to write down something else and maybe kind of you can understand it? This sin is really serious. This sin is a big deal. Saul didn't do that. When Saul finally, because he was backed in a corner so much by Samuel, Samuel wouldn't let him keep on saying it's not sin. He finally went, fine. But it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. This isn't a big one. This is just something small. Look what he says, the rest of verse 20. He says, but I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. He's even saying, while he's saying this, he's saying, I didn't obey God. But he's saying, you know what? I mostly obeyed his good. And the soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord, at God, your God, at Gilgal. It's not a big deal. And then Samuel, this is why Samuel says what he says in the next verses. Look at verse 22, he says, but Samuel replied. He goes, man, you don't get this, Saul. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. It doesn't matter that you decide to dedicate this stuff. It doesn't matter. Then he says this, for rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance, which is what you have, Saul, is like the evil of idolatry. Samuel's saying, this sin that you think is not a big deal is just like a sin that you think is a big deal. Do you notice that's what he's saying? Like if you ask Saul, I think if Samuel would have asked Saul right then, hey, would you bow down and worship an idol right now? What do you think Saul would have said? No. You know, I'm even doing this stuff so we can dedicate it to God, so we can sacrifice and worship God. I would never bow down to an idol. And Samuel goes, what you're doing right now is just like that. It's just like it. You guys, we have to get in our minds that sin that you're going through right now, that you're going, you know what? I know it's sin, but at least I'm not doing this. If that's what you say, then you're not saying it's a really big deal. If you say it's just as bad as this, now you're starting to get to the place where you're saying it's a big deal. You guys, we do it all the time with each other, which is kind of sad. I know we're trying to do it to encourage somebody, but when somebody sins, we actually tell people, oh, what'd you do? Well, you know, I disobeyed my parents. Oh, come on, everybody does that. I thought you were talking about something serious. It's no big deal. We say that to actually encourage each other. Slap them on the back and say, it's cool. That's not a big deal. At least you didn't kill anybody. Guys, that's not what we should be saying. It is a big deal. And it is just like I killed somebody. Did you hear that? If you don't believe me, just turn to Romans chapter 1. Turn to Romans chapter 1, you guys. Remember I told you to keep your finger here in 1 Samuel 15. Don't lose that, okay? But now it's in the New Testament, all the way across the rest of the Bible, to Romans. We were in Romans last night, or yesterday, or this morning. We're going to go to Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, you guys, as you're turning there, Paul is talking to the people, and he's saying, you know what? Here's what some cultures have done. They've totally rejected God. Some societies, some cultures have totally thrown God out of the picture. And this is what happens with those people, with those societies, with those cultures. He starts out in verse 28. We'll just kind of pick up there. Verse 28. He says, furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, they just threw God out. So God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done, that they would be totally depraved, their minds are not thinking right, they're gonna do these terrible things. Look at verse 28 or 29, it says, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. Man, it's like he's gonna list these really bad sins. I mean, really bad ones, all kinds of wickedness, depravity, evil. And then he lists these things. Like, for instance, the next thing he says is, they are, you guys following with me? Verse 29, they are full of, what's the first thing? Envy. The first thing he says is envy? You know what envy is? I want what somebody else has. I just want what that person has too. I mean, I don't know how many times I've done that. I've done that a million times. And you know what we probably say to each other? Man, I'm really envious. Oh, you want that too? Oh, you know what? I know that's sin, but you know, it's not a big deal. It's not as bad as. Guys, that's the first one he lists as one of these really bad ones. What's right next to it? Envy is right next to
murder. It's just as bad. See, murder's one that we would say, oh, I would never do that. And what I'm doing right now isn't as bad as that. Yes, it is. The next one, strife. You know what strife means? I'm not getting along with this other person. I mean, how many times have we done that already this week with somebody else in the cabin? And we go, you know what? I've done that. I know it's like not what God really wants me to do, but is it really that bad? Deceit. You know what? I'm not completely telling the truth here. I'm just letting somebody else believe just a little bit different than what's really true. Malice. You know, I hate that guy. I hate that girl. And you're being honest. But that's it. They're gossips. I'm just going to talk about somebody behind their back. Guys, these are as bad as murder. Slanderers. I'm just going to just say something. I want to bring out something. Somebody, some bad thing about somebody. I'm going to let everybody else kind of know about that. Then what's right next to slanderers? God haters. See, that's another one I would say, oh, that's a bad one. As if there's bad ones in this list and not so bad ones in this list. It's just as bad as hating God. Insolent. That means disrespectful. I just show disrespect to somebody, that's all. Arrogant. You know what? I think I'm pretty special and boastful. I brag a little bit. They invent new ways of doing evil. Like, invent new ways of doing evil. Then you see what the next one is? What does it say? They disobey their parents. Are you kidding me? You're going to throw that one in there? I mean, come on. Disobeying our parents is as bad as any of the other ones in there. It's as bad as the worst one in there. Guys, there's a passage in James chapter 2. I think it's verse 10. You know what it says? It says that anybody who breaks one of God's laws is guilty of breaking every one of God's laws. Anybody who breaks one of God's laws is guilty of breaking all of God's laws. Have you actually thought about that? In other words, every single sin is the same evilness. It's the same selfishness. It's the same thing. Guys, it's not just a few sins that lead to death. It's not just a few sins that lead to death and the other ones lead to comas. It's not just most sins lead to death and the other ones just hurt me a little bit. Every single sin leads to death. Even the sin that you think right now in your life is not a big deal. All I am is a little bit selfish. All I am is I boast sometimes. I gossip sometimes. I got a problem with gossip. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. You guys, this is the truth about God. God will never, ever disown you as his child. I don't care what you do. He will never disown you as a child. If you become a child of God, he's not going to unadopt you. Your relationship with him is firm and it will never, ever change. Now, with me saying that, though, you know what sin does do? Sin makes that relationship unhealthy. It doesn't take the relationship away, but it's unhealthy. And every sin makes that relationship unhealthy. Every sin. Are you willing to not be like Saul? Are you willing to look at the sin that you've done or the sin that you're struggling with right now that you haven't yet said it's a big deal? And are you willing to say this is a bigger deal than I think it is? This hurts my relationship with God just as much as any other sin. Any other sin. That's what David did when he was confronted with his sin. Number one, this thing is sin. Number two, it's a really big deal. Number three, write this down. This sin is all my fault. The sin is all my fault. I don't know if you want to underline all and then underline my, but whatever you want to do, that's going to go, hey, this sin is all. It's not 90% my fault. It's not half my fault and half somebody else's fault. This sin is all my fault. That's the difference between Saul and David. Even when Saul finally got to the point where he went, okay, I've sinned. Look what he does in verse 24, after Samuel finally says, it is sin, and it's a really big deal. What you did is as big a deal as if you're bowing down to an idol. He goes, it's a big deal. And then finally in verse 24, if you go back to 1 Samuel 15, verse 24, it says, then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. And I'm thinking to myself, finally, like he's there, right? Like, okay, man, he said, okay, come on, Saul. And then the next sentence wipes the whole thing out. I did sin. I violated the Lord's commands. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them. Whose fault is it? What did Saul say? Whose fault is it? Everybody else's. Yeah, it's sin, but it's not my fault. Now, he just totally destroyed confessing sin. Because part of confessing sin is looking at the way that God looks at it, and God goes, hey, you know what? If you need to take all responsibility for this, and we need to go, it's all my fault. We can't just do one of those three things or two of those three things. We do all of those three things when we sin. This is sin. It's a really big deal, and it's all my fault. Let me show you what David did in that area. It's crazy how much David took the responsibility for sin. We're going to talk about what happened in the video tonight. Do you remember the part where it shows that building being burned down? Looks like an orphanage or something like that, right? And it gives the idea, like, what happened? What did Saul do? He burned this house down with all the children in it, right? I mean, that's, whoa, did that really happen? It didn't really happen that way. Saul did kill an entire village looking for David. He destroyed an entire village. But in the story here, it shows, like, you know, this orphanage thing. It wasn't that David went to. David went to actually the place that had all the priests at. It was a city called Nob. And if you turn a page, a couple pages, go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 21. So it's a few pages over. Chapter 21. This is where it picks up, where it shows in the video. It says, David went to Nob, in verse 1, to Ahimelech the priest. Ahimelech trembled when he met David and asked, why are you alone? Why is no one with you? Basically, Ahimelech, this priest, is going, why are you here, David? Now, at this time, you guys, nobody really knew. The priest did not know that Saul was after David to kill him. They actually were thinking, oh, you're the guy that destroyed Goliath. You're actually one of Saul's servants. You're actually like in the army with Saul. I mean, like, you're one of his commanders, which is what Saul actually made him for a while. So it wasn't really out that Saul was after David. So he's just going, why are you here alone? It's really strange. You would never come here alone. Why are you here? David says in verse 2, David answered to Ahimelech the priest, the king sent me on a mission and said to me, no one is to know anything about the mission I am sending you on. As for my men, I have told them to meet me at a certain place. Now then, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever you can find. You know what David does? He lies to him. He doesn't say, I'm actually running away from Saul right now. Can you help me out? He goes, you know what? I'm on a secret mission from Saul. Nobody knows about it. So that's why I'm here, because I'm here to get supplies from you for our secret mission. And my men are in hiding right now. He had no men. He just made it all up so he could get some bread, so he could get some food. And so the priest is going, man, you're on a mission for the king? Here's some food. And then David says, hey, do you have any weapons? And the guy goes, yeah, well, we have Goliath's sword right here. And David goes, sweet, man, that's an awesome sword. I'll take it. And he takes the sword, and he takes the food, and he leaves. Ahimelech, what is Ahimelech thinking that he's doing? Do you think Ahimelech's thinking that he's aiding a fugitive? No. He's thinking he's helping Saul and his secret mission, right? But Saul hears word that Ahimelech helped David. Saul's thinking he's aiding a fugitive of the state. Let's go get him. Later on in the chapter, actually chapter 22, is when Saul comes to the priest and he goes to the priest and says, hey man, why were you helping David, my enemy? I can't believe, I heard that you gave him food and I heard that you gave him weapons and stuff. And Ahimelech's going, I don't know what you're talking about. Can you imagine being Ahimelech? What are you talking about? David told me he was on a mission for you, man. He's come to me before. You've sent him here before. Why should I think that there was something odd about that? Saul says, I don't believe you. You're lying. And he kills him. And he kills all of his family. And he kills everybody in the village. He didn't do anything. And all of the children, everyone, burns the entire thing down. That's how obsessed he is with David and anybody he thinks is helping David. But Ahimelech didn't do anything wrong. One guy out of the entire town got away. One of Ahimelech's sons, named Abiathar. He got away. And he runs to David and he tells David what happened. Let's pick it up with verse 20. Chapter 22, verse 20. It says, but one son of Ahimelech, son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled to join David. He told David that Saul had killed the priests of the Lord. Stop right there. Who killed the priests? Saul. You know, Saul didn't even repent of this. He never repented of this. He never agreed with God about it. But Saul did this thing, and Abiathar's telling him, and Saul came and killed everybody. I'm the only one that got away. Then David sent to Abiathar that day when Doeg the Edomite was there. See, he remembered, when I was talking to the priest, there was this guy named Doeg there who I knew he would tell Saul. That's the guy who told Saul what happened because he saw what was happening. He's going, man, I knew. He goes, I knew he would tell him. So that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, I knew he would for sure tell Saul. Who does it look like David is blaming, or at least giving partial the blame? It's Doeg, right? But he doesn't give any of that. Look at his next line. This is so incredible. I am responsible for the death of your whole family. It's all my fault. I think I would argue with David with that one. No, 20% your fault. Okay, you shouldn't have lied. But Saul's the one who actually went crazy and killed them all. David says, no, I'm not going to blame my sin on somebody else. This is my fault. If I never would have lied, none of this would have happened. It's all my fault. Guys, this is huge because I think some of us in this room, you have sin in your life. You have hatred towards somebody. You have this thing going on. You're selfish or you're going, I do gossip about this person or whatever, but you should see what they've done. The only reason I hate them so much is because of what they have done. The only reason I'm sinning in this, and I know that God says I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm going, but come on. You know what they did. We're Saul. I did this, but I did it with some other people. You know, I got caught up, you know, and I know it's sin, but you know, it's not all my fault. It's kind of my friend's fault too. Hello, Saul. Are you willing about the sin in your life that God says is sin? Are you willing to say it's all my fault? Some of you are going, but PJ, this other person did sin, and that is what, you know, that happened too. Yeah, you know what? God was going to go ahead and hold Saul to his sin. Don't worry about that. That other person's sin is their sin, and that's between them and God. But your sin is not their sin. Who's your sin belong to? You. And it doesn't just 80% belong to you. It 100% belongs to you. And are you willing to be humble enough to admit that? Gosh, I don't know. There might be somebody in this room going, man, I don't know if I've ever repented. I don't know if you're saying like, dude. Like, I always thought, repent, confess. Okay, God, I did this. Okay, let's move on. Guys, it really is going, you know what, God? Here's the deal. I'm going to look at this sin the way you do. And I'm not going to say it's not sin. It's fully sin. It's not kind of sin. It's not sort of sin. It's sin. And number two, this is a really big deal. I'm going to stop believing what somebody else even tells me that it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. And I don't care if everybody else is doing it. I'm living in a world with slaves of sin. So of course everybody else is doing it. But I'm not a slave of sin. And this is a big deal. This is not who I am. And this is affecting my relationship with you. And that's a big deal. And you know what, God? It's all my fault. This sin's all my fault. Guys, but here's the deal I want to leave you with. Once you have that attitude, and you really honestly, and only you can answer it, if you honestly go to God and say, this is sin, this is a really big deal. I know how much it's affected my relationship with you. It's destroying it. I don't want to keep going this way, and it's all my fault. You know what God does in that moment? He forgives you and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, and now you know what confess means, right? When we agree with God about that sin, it says he is faithful and just to forgiveness, to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we go to him and confess. So at the same time that we need to take sin so seriously, we don't need to wallow in it. If you honestly go to God humbly like that, and if you go to God tomorrow with that same sin, I'm telling you what God will say. What are you talking about? We've already dealt with that. Let's move on. That makes sense, you guys? But some of us, we can't move on yet because we really haven't confessed our sins. And maybe even tonight is a night that you're going to just spend time with you and God and go, God, I need to talk to you about this sin that I haven't thought is sin. And even if I thought it's sin, I haven't thought it's a big deal. I've justified it. And even if I thought it's a big deal, I blame somebody else, at least partly for my sin. And it's all my fault. Will you do that? And the next time you sin, will you do it? And continue to have that humble attitude. That's what children of God do with sin. Let's not be like Saul. Lord, thank you for tonight. Pretty sobering, pretty tough, but also, God, very liberating when we really understand. God, yes, you need us to be like David, not like Saul. And the reason why Saul continued to struggle with sin and even be enslaved by sin and continue to be devoured by his sin is because he never dealt with it. God, that we would not do that anymore. Some of us are being devoured by this certain sin because we're just not dealing with it. We haven't thought it's a big deal. We haven't maybe even thought it's sin. But God, we're going to change our minds tonight. We're going to repent and change our minds about that sin. And we're going to confess the sin. We're going to agree with you, God, about that sin. And so, God, I hope I'm speaking for some of us already in this room when I say, this thing is sin. It's a really big deal. And it's all my fault. Thank you for forgiving me. God, help me to keep looking at my sin the same way that you look at it. In your name, amen.